This is Kickstart 101 with Graham Shapiro.
How are you?
Very good, and you?
All right, thank you. What are you doing for Nelson Mandela Day?
So I don't know yet. I was thinking of not charging my clients for 67 minutes.
That is awesome. Not billing for 67. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'll go with it. All right, let's talk about corporate social investment. Why do companies do it?
So
when it takes your eye off the ball.
So I think they do it. Basically, one of the reasons that they actually do it is because they have to. So
what do you mean they have?
They unofficially have to. So big listed companies and the big corporates all have to report on their corporate social investment. So they've got there's an actual segment of the report where they actually say what they're doing. And that gets distributed as public information. So it's one of those things where you don't have to do it, but it's highly recommended. And actually, if you go into any of these websites, any big company's website, there'll be a tab where it will tell you all about either their foundation that they fund or the investment that they do. But there's also there's something sort of bigger at play is why they have to do it. And the one company who's famous and was very successful of it, I spoke about it probably around this time last year, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but really is Sasol.
Sasol Foundation is phenomenal.
So it's not only the foundation.
And Boeing as well.
It's like Sasol Boeing. It's the whole city.
Right.
So it's the whole concept of what they really did to build up a community. And really the idea of CSI, or it's either called corporate social investment or corporate social responsibility, is very much that as a company, you're not separate from the community. So in every company, you've got shareholders who are people who own the company, but then there's something else called stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
So stakeholders is everybody who has some sort of interest in the company. So it's employees, it's people, it's people who the company owes money to. It would be banks, anybody who does business with them, and then obviously also community around and who's affected by that company, and also actually the environment itself. So what you have is people have a vested interest in a company. And that company has a vested interest in the people, the community in which it sort of operates around. And they can't say that they operate in a silo. And the whole idea behind corporate social responsibility is that you have to give back and sustain the community in which you operate. And so it's really part of something bigger, is that you're not just the leadership of the company aren't just sort of there for the time that they're alive, and then when they leave the company, they don't really care what happens to the company. Part of making a company a worthwhile investment is its sustainability. And part of the sustainability is what it does to sustain the environment in which it operates, which is either a country or a community. And very much in South Africa, that's a very big thing, because, you know, you've got multinationals who want to come here, and you've got big South African companies here. And really, if you look at you've got to look and say, well, is this company going to be around in 50 years? What are they doing to make the environment an environment that they can still operate in 50 years' time?
That's quite amazing. Do you know about the Dis-Chem Food Garden?
No, I don't.
So have you ever been out to Dis-Chem head office?
No.
It's out...
I know where it is. You see it as you drive.
In Midrand.
It's huge, yeah.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
They have got this food garden. They feed 7,000 people a month.
Sure.
From the community.
So that's amazing.
And it's something that they do as a company. Isn't that incredible?
So I saw, you know, something on that line also is, you know, sticking to sort of where they're good at is Netcare also do something similar where they pay for a lot of medical treatment. Their foundation pays for a lot of medical treatments. I mean, what Dis-Chem is doing is amazing, because it's quite
similar. Dis-Chem are just out of this world.
Because if you actually think about it, it's not so difficult what they're doing. It's with corporates the size that we sort of are small corporates in world you know, in world terms, but when you've got the workforce that's the size that these corporates do and the footprint around the country that they do, you sort of see how quickly they can mobilize, and in not such a difficult way. I mean, say a food garden, and you see the power of it—that it's feeding 7,000 people.
Sorry, 8,000.
8,000. Okay,
yeah. It's going up as we
speak. So, you know, and it's actually it's an interesting thing because you know you asked me the question earlier, you know, why are people doing it? And it's, you know, sort of answered that it's obligatory and people have to report on it. But
is it not just doing good for the sake of good? Because that's also okay. It's okay to do good just for the sake of doing good, and because it makes people feel good. And when your people come to work and they feel that what they're doing is having a part and an impact on the bigger picture, then you can get people to work towards a common goal.
Absolutely. I'm saying that's the very sort of altruistic side of it. I mean, where you see that companies want to be known that they're doing good things, and people who work there want to know that they're working for a place that wants to do good
pride,
things.
Pride, for sure.
For sure is pride. I mean, it for sure is pride. But, you know, you also... If you actually, you know, just think of it from another point of view, purely from a business point of view, is it's actually it's good business, and I'm not saying it's good business because you're sort of giving yourself a good name in doing it. Take a step aside from CSR for a second and just think how Discovery work. So, you know, if you think about Discovery, they're a company. They're really the primary side of the company is probably the medical aid.
Oh.
Or medical aid, or life insurance, either way.
Insurance, yeah, all the insurance, I suppose.
So the way that they make money is by collecting premiums. So they invent something called Vitality. And what Vitality is there is to do is to serve their people who are paying them premiums and make them healthier.
So that they pay out less.
So they can pay out less and keep the people healthier for longer.
That's not CSR, Graham.
I'm not talking about that. So take a step aside from CSR.
I'm just trying to think what...
That's what I said. I'm just talking about it's a sustainable business model. So when you look at CSR, it's smart business, because if you've got a big company, you have to make sure that you've got to look at the next generation of workforce that is coming into you. You've also got to look at the people who you're going to be doing business with, and how you're going to be doing business. So by getting into community and getting relationships with communities, gets you close to the community. And you know, if you're paying for education, if you're giving money towards education, you're actually helping train the next workforce that's coming up. So you also aren't in a silo as a company. You need other companies to be up and running, and you need a good economy to be up and running for you to also be doing good business. So by you giving back to the community, you're actually building that whole next generation and making sure that not only the economy survives, but your company survives. So it's actually, you know, to look at it from a slightly different point of view, not from that altruistic point of view, is it actually makes
it's
sense.
It's investing in the community around you, essentially.
It's investing in the economy around you. And you know, right now, I think the best place, the places where corporates should be investing is for sure in education. You know, we know the state of government education right now is not amazing, and we tend to say, well, it's the government's fault, the government needs to get education right, but they probably won't in the direct future. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see coming up is big banks, big insurance companies starting to develop their own academies where you have... They might pick up people from this is a pure guess, pure prediction, but you might pick up teenagers and say, bring in almost a standard 9-matric program, and then start to groom people to educate them to work in your company.
Mm.
So you don't rely on a faulty education system where you're worried that maybe people will fall off a bit before they get a chance to go through university and come and work and get into the workforce. So I think that might be an area where corporates could really get involved and help uplift a big gap where there's massive gaps in education and knowledge.
So I've got a story that I want to share with you. These studios that we are sitting in, right? The first time around took 2.5 months to build our original studios. This took a week. And there was a dream team that did it. Three young guys. Let me tell you the story. Can I tell you quickly?
Yeah.
Graham. So
can tell everyone else.
Also. Okay. It's just you and me. So I had already given notice at our former premises. You know, the butchery had built in and they were growing and there were more and more, it was becoming more and more like a meat processing and it just wasn't conducive to business anymore. And I found these premises, signed the lease the end of the first week of June, and I had already given notice. Oh, sorry, second week of June. And I'd already given notice. I got hold of a company that makes drywalling, a company called Gyprock Saint Gobain, and they have a wonderful, wonderful academy. And on the Tuesday, the 13th, I know these dates back of my hand. Tuesday, the 13th of June, I drove through to Midrand. Centurion. I went to meet with the head of the academy, a guy by the name of Matt Bainey. And I said to him, look, I've got to build these studios. I've already given notice. We've got 2 weeks to build studios at that point because I wanted to move on the 28th before the fast, right, of Tammuz. And this might be a nice project for your academy. One, it'll help me keep my costs down as a community radio. Got Graham Shapiro with me, and he's from my accountant. Used to be Shapiro Advisory, but you still advise, right?
Yes. Just changed the branding.
Okay, good.
I needed to get my name out of there.
Really? Why? It's such an illustrious name associated with finance.
Well, you need your company to build its own personality.
Oh, okay. So we're busy talking about CSI and the different ways that one can approach CSI. And I shared that story. I'd get comment from you, but because we had to go to news headlines. But it has been such a positive experience.
So it's interesting that was the next area I was going to is in sort of the, you know, there is obviously the sustainability of community and, you know, feeding people and helping people who are less fortunate. But I think a place where, you know, there is one instance where there is help for SMEs, but I think there's not enough CSI in for the SME community. I almost feel like the SME community is like the middle class, where they're not poor enough to get a
middle child for sure.
more of the middle class, you know, they're not rich enough to sort of get involved in high end CSI like the big corporates, and they're not poor enough to get help from the corporates either.
Yeah.
But you know, people often always say, you know, you can listen to everyone often says that SMEs are sort of the backbone of the economy. There's your corporates, but the SMEs are the companies who sort of start up. Land up giving the most employment, and actually there's the government national development plan, which I don't really know how that's going, but supposedly by 2030 they want 90% of the workforce to be employed by the SME sector, which needs investment, and you almost feel that there isn't enough sort of focus on helping SMEs grow. There are, you know, you do get you know, things called incubators where, investors might help sort of mentor them. But I feel that there isn't enough help and guidance. You know, one of the things where you see it the most is guys who start businesses actually, you almost need like a business boot camp. You almost need like a crash course on what running a business means. You know, you might have all the operational skill, but you don't know. You'll probably get SARS penalties because you'll mess up something.
The truth is if you get too involved, Graham, in the paperwork, you will never get that business off the ground. You have to go with your passion. Those are the things that you will learn on the way.
So I'm not saying that people shouldn't get involved in it. I'm just saying people need to be made aware of them. And where I say it's almost of a business boot camp is when you start a company, if you register a company, the CIPC, which is the when I was on with Roy,
it's called CIPRA.
CIPRA, it's the center, the something for intellectual property,
yeah,
whatever. But they, as soon as you register a company, they know that you've registered a company. So there almost should be an onboarding, like a business onboarding boot camp, where they got you straight away. Just make it an hour thing. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to be aware of. Know that as soon as you employ people,
do's and don'ts.
Exactly. If you employ people, you're going to have to pay PAYE. If you get to R1 million of sales, you're going to have to register for VAT. You know, like little things like that, which can cause. And I know what you're saying is you just have to go with your gut and not worry so much about the paperwork. But that comes with owning a business. Those little things, you know, you need to understand, you know, sort of a labor law. You know, when you employ people, you have to understand what you, the implications.
Don't worry, after your first CCMA case, you'll make sure that everybody has contracts.
You know what
you learn in business. That's the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it helps also knowing that up front.
Yeah, 100%. All right, great. That's where we leave it. It is, by the way, the CIPC, I quickly Googled it. It is the Companies and Intellectual Property That's Commission. It.
And I can never remember it. And I always say the CIPC, and then I always feel like an idiot because I can't remember what it stands for.
Exactly. That's two of us. It's just gone 6:15.